take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. The way that that verse in Proverbs chapter 13 is put in the Message, which is a kind of modern day rewrite, if you like. It's not a direct translation, but it says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick. You know, and the Bible also says in Job 5, verse 7, it says that just as sparks fly upwards, isn't that right? You know, whenever you watch a man drilling into the wall, it's normally men. I'm not being sexist or anything, but it's normally men drilling in all those ads about electrics, isn't it? Sparks always fly upwards. They don't go down. They don't just drop to the ground. They fly upwards. And the Bible says that just as sparks fly upwards, so a man is born to trouble. Why am I saying that? Well, you see, you and I will go through stuff. But the thing is, when we go through stuff and, you know, stuff just seems to keep coming at us, it reaches a point where something just can get us down on the inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I believe that one of the things that the enemy tries to do is to make us kind of think, well, do you know what? It doesn't really matter. I just have to carry on going and just, you know, whatever, we'll move on. But I just want to look at a couple of verses from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 28, and then I'm going to read verse 32. And you remember, the book of Deuteronomy is basically a very long sermon. Did you know that? Some of you haven't got a clue about that. Well, that's what it is. Moses is just retelling in the book of Deuteronomy the entire history. So if you want a quick understanding of the life of the Israelites from when they left slavery, that's the book you're going to get it in. And here he's basically talking to them about what went horribly wrong. And it says here, he's telling them what they said. How can we go up from Egypt to the promised land is what they're talking about. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heavens. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. In other words, this is Moses reminding the people what happened. He was saying to them, God had a plan for your life, for you guys. And the plan was that you would inherit the promised land. The plan that was that we'd take the 2-week journey, 10-day, 2-week journey from Egypt, and that we would inherit the promised land together. And that was God's plan for you. But something went horribly wrong. Say, oh dear. Oh dear. You see, the people of Israel, in fact, this was the leaders, this was the mature ones. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you mature? This was even the mature ones. This is a problem that affects people. Are you hearing me? So the leaders went out there and they saw giants and they saw how beautiful the land was, but they saw some giants and they came back and they became the people's problem. Wow. Make sure who your leaders are. Are you hearing me? Make sure who you're following knows where they're going and they're going the right place. And what Moses is saying here is that you listened to negativity, you got discouraged, and as a result, your destiny was destroyed. Are you hearing me? Discouragement destroyed the destinies of an entire generation. I want us to look at verse 32. And here, Moses says, you see, he goes on to say, but I reminded you of the miracles that God had done. I reminded you of the goodness of God. I reminded you of all the good things he'd done. Yet, despite all that, discouragement spoke more loudly in your ears than miracles, than my word, than my promises. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. What am I talking about today? Discouragement. You see, God has been showing me something about discouragement. It knocks on every single one of our doors. It comes along through negativity. It comes along through, in the example of these people, it was negativity spoken by people they trusted and looked up to. And they listened to the negativity which resounded loudly in their hearts and their minds. It comes through all sorts of ways. Do you remember the story of David at Ziklag? One of the most devastating times of David's life. And terrible discouragement hit him and his entire army. But that wasn't through negativity, that was through a disaster. It was through disappointment. You know, one of the ways that the enemy tries to bring discouragement to you is through disappointment. Stuff that you've really been hoping and believing for to happen, and you really just, you know that this is when it's going to happen, and then flop. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And suddenly, there's just this discouragement in your heart. You see, that verse 28 said they discouraged our hearts. Let me tell you where the enemy wants to reach with discouragement. It's your heart. You see, the thoughts can come. We can hear the whisperings of negativity, but it's when it reaches our hearts that it's a problem. Are you hearing me? And so negativity, it can be disaster, it can be disappointment. Another really interesting one is in Colossians, where the Bible says, fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You know, what I believe that is saying is, you know, sometimes just relentless harshness. You know, when somebody, it's all about correction and there's just not enough affirmation. It can create such a discouragement in the heart of a child. You know, in the very desire to see a child become their best, you know, as parents, if we're not careful, we're going to cause the exact opposite to happen in the hearts of those children that we love. If we don't bring enough of the right stuff, you know, the other day, Abby, we were at home and Abby just played her flute upstairs. And I was like, wow, Abby, that was just amazing. I said, I just loved it. I was listening from the other side of the house and I just went, wow, that was great. And she said, oh, yes, mummy, but you just always love everything I do because you have to because you're my mummy. And she said, you're the one who goes, oh, that's lovely, sweetheart. I'm like, wow. And she said, but daddy's the one who goes, you need to shift that key, sweetheart. You need to play in it. And it was funny. But anyway, yeah. So she then listens to him more because she thinks I'm just not musical. Haven't got a clue. And I just love it anyway. But you see, there are different ways that discouragement can get into our hearts. But you see, discouragement is a serious problem. We saw here what discouragement can do. It can destroy. Let me tell you how it destroys our destinies. One dream at a time. Shall I say that again? Let me explain it. You see, your destiny is made up of many conquests. Your destiny is this big picture purpose that God has called you to. But you don't in one day suddenly find yourself having fulfilled your destiny. Your destiny is made up by every single battle that you fight and win. It's by every step that you take towards seeing fulfillment in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the way God works is that, yes, he gives us this big picture, desire and purpose, but he gives us little desires on the way called dreams. Amen? And his desire is that year by year, we fulfill the dreams that he places on the inside. But we have to fight for them. We have to carry on believing even when discouragement knocks at the door. And so the way the enemy wants to try and destroy your destiny is by bursting every bubble of a dream one by one. I want to encourage you right now as I'm ministering, what are the things that were in your heart that you've kind of thought, do you know what, let's just put that to one side and just concentrate on something else. Because sometimes You know, like they say in America, it's not over until the fat lady sings. Are you hearing me? It's not over. And there's times when God's saying, it's time to rise again. It's time to remember what I said. And not to allow those voices of discouragement to rob you. Let me tell you another source of discouragement. How many of you remember Peter, Jesus' disciple? Yeah, I love that guy. I love how human he was, especially before he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He became a bit more spiritual after that. I love the version before he got empowered, just because it, you know, makes me feel better. Do you know what I'm talking about? And, you know, here was Peter. He'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. He was one of his best friends. That close. And he loved Jesus. But at the moment when it mattered most, Peter failed. At the moment when everything was riding on Peter, he messed up. What am I talking about? Three different people. You're with Jesus. You're a friend of Jesus. Jesus is now in his place of most of greatest vulnerability. He's been arrested by the Jewish leaders. And people are spotting Peter, saying, yeah, you, I remember seeing you with him. And he gets to a point where he even, you know, if it was in today's language, he would be swearing. What the are you saying? I have never seen that man. And then the rooster crows. What do they do? The rooster crows. Thank you. And he breaks down and weeps. You know, sometimes one of the ways that discouragement gets in is we just think, do you know what? I've messed up one time too many. I'm a mess up. Are you hearing me? I've just crossed the line too many times and I've just got to stop believing that God is going to pick me up yet again. I remember I used to feel that my life was just constantly in cycles. You know, God wants to take you from cycles into seasons. Amen. 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 You know, and here's Peter. But I want you to look at what Jesus prayed for Peter. We're just going to quickly go to that scripture in Luke 22, 32. Because I want you to understand what it is that the enemy is after. He's after your destiny. He's after your dreams. But how will he destroy them? Jesus, when he was predicting Peter's denial. You see, Jesus knew that he had to deal with the most strategic issue at hand. And he said to him, but I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. Faith is of the heart, the Bible tells us. Amen? So what the enemy is always trying to do with discouragement is he's trying to get into your heart and he's trying to make your faith fail. Are you hearing me? You know, God may have spoken to you about an area where you're going to step out this year and an area where you're going to see a transformation and you start the year and instead of things getting better, they only get worse. Are you hearing me? You know, God has this plan and this purpose and this promise over your life. And what the enemy's going to try and do is he's going to try and attack your faith. Because if your faith is nullified, you've been neutralized. Shall I say that again? If your faith is nullified, then you have been neutralized. You know, God wants you and I to be effective and to be powerful. But for that, we have to be strong in faith. And you see, what I believe is one of the biggest weapons that the enemy is using against many people, even right now, even as you've entered 2016, you've gone through some stuff and you've been feeling so discouraged in your heart. You've been facing stuff, but I want to tell you that God is saying, my son, my daughter, if you will turn away from looking at the circumstances. Let me give you an example, and just as a church, God showed me this example, and it doesn't matter if you don't know the details, but as a church recently, we went through a major defeat where Barclays Bank was basically pulled a scam, which has affected, I'm saying scam, I mean, it's just one of the ways that they have been raising money from charities and just making them buy products they don't need. You've heard about what PPI, So it's a smaller scale version of that. Smaller because it affects far fewer organizations. And so it's similar. And we fought and fought. I say we, our pastor, fought and fought and fought, tooth and nail, for 7 years. And then we got a final judgment, negative. Right, okay. A big discouragement, yeah? A big disappointment. But then God was saying to me, look around. Look where you're sitting right now. You weren't with us, most of you, 20 years ago. Pastor Temi and Mary were, but most of you didn't see where we started. Are you hearing me? Most of you didn't see the labor hall where we'd arrive in a morning. And the first thing we'd have to do is sweep up the cigarette butts from the night before. We'd have to clean the beer off the ground. And if someone did fall down under the power of God, we'd just pray that we'd manage to pull them back up again eventually. We would have blocked toilets, gushing water. And then look, turn around now and just have a look where you are. See what the Lord has done. What's the message here? You see, you can either dwell on the defeats on the way to victory, or you can look at how far you've come. You can either look at all the little disappointments, and as the Bible says, unrelenting disappointment can really hurt us. Or we can say, do you know what? Despite the disappointments, I've seen the faithfulness of God. I've seen his hand on my life. I've seen him come through again and again and again. Will you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Satan is after your faith. And the way he wants to quench your faith is by allowing disappointment to sit like a heavy rock in your heart. And we've got to do something about this. I want to give you some of the definitions of disappointment, because this is, it's extraordinary when you look at it. There are four Old Testament words that I want to touch on that mean disappointment in Hebrew. The first one, rapa, to weaken, to forsake, to dissolve, to slacken. Now, if we just pick one of those words, so discouragement means to dissolve. Another one, massas, means to faint, to melt, to waste away. So what is discouragement's goal in your life, according to that definition? To make you faint. In fact, not to make you faint. He doesn't care whether you fall over. To make your faith faint. Are you hearing me? Third one, new, to dissuade. The enemy wants to dissuade you from believing the truth. He wants to dissuade you from hanging on to God's promises. He wants to make you believe that what the negativity is saying is more credibility than what his word is saying. Are you hearing me? To dissuade, to make of no effect, to break. And finally, and there's more, but Kazar, to cut down and to shorten. These are words of war. Every time the enemy tries to bring you down with discouragement, it is an act of war against you. Every time he tries to bring about circumstances around you that will make you just go, oh, maybe I just should let go of that. He's trying to wage a new battle against the purposes of God for your life. You see, I really want today for you to change your attitude towards discouragement, to no longer see it as something, well, you know, I'm just a bit down at the moment. No, it's an assault against your destiny. I mean, if you have to fight tooth and nail every single day until you have defeated discouragement, I want to encourage you to rise up and to declare war. Are you hearing me? To declare war on discouragement. We need, rather than allowing the enemy to use these weapons, which really are assault weapons, we've got to say, I'm going to take up my weapons, and we're going to come to a couple of ways in particular that we can deal with this. But we've got to retaliate. Say, I will retaliate. I will retaliate. Say, I will retaliate. I will retaliate. You see, the enemy is after you. You know, let me just give you a few examples from my own life. You know, here's one. Just a couple of months ago, I got an invitation to appear on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, in America, the biggest private TV, Christian TV network in the world, and to be on their national show. And, you know, I prayed about it, felt it was the right thing. I want you to hear the details of the story. I prayed about it, had such a peace, felt this was God saying, go for it. So I paid for my ticket to return to Atlanta and paid for the hotel nights that TBN weren't paying. So it was a cost, say cost. And off I went. And, you know, the first thing which many of you heard about was literally 2 hours before the live show was due to start rolling, myself and one of the other guests on the show were in a very bad accident that could have been terminal. I mean, it could have been awful. Thank God for his protection. Thank God for praying people. I sent a text out a few hours earlier just saying, I really feel this thing is critical. Keep people praying. I didn't know why I felt it was critical. Anyway, we walked out of that crash, which was, shook us. The other lady in the car with me is still having physio. And we went, we did the show. And it was phenomenal. And the questions that I was asked were like, oh my goodness, talk about the opportunity to present to the nation of America and via that way to the world the very mandate that I have on planet Earth. As I was asked to share about why people need Healed for Life. And it was just, it was phenomenal. It was awesome. Anyway, we eventually come back home. And then, you know, I'm asking, when's it going to be shown? When's it going to be shown? It had a Christmas theme. And it just got bumped. Week after week, they kept saying, no, they haven't shown it. No, they haven't shown it. And still, the Christmas-themed show hasn't been shown. Why am I sharing this? You see, we go through stuff that doesn't make sense. But let me tell you something. The moment I heard someone said it's been bumped the first time, when it was still due to be rescheduled a week later, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There may be things that have happened in your life just yesterday, just last week, that you say, I don't understand God. I sensed your presence about this. I felt a peace. I felt the green light to go. Do you know what? It may have been, you know, I don't believe I didn't hear God. I just think the enemy really hates this ministry. And I believe something even better than that. All things will work together for good. So somehow, the very fact that the show got bumped, that was what God said would work together for good, will work together for good. You see, that's an example because the enemy wants me to give up. He wants me to say, it's just not fair. Why is it not working? You know, I invested, You know, I said, I believe it's God. He said, well, you do it then. You go. He backed me. He didn't hear God. In fact, I asked him to hear God. He said, you go to God. I was the one who said, I believe this is God. I spent that money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what do? Do I go, oh, well, you know, I got asked about 30-day detox. You know, I had so many promises last year about things that were going to happen. They didn't happen. Do I give up on it? Are you hearing me? What about your life? What are the things that you have believed and you haven't yet seen manifested? Discouragement will try and squash your faith man. We talk about our spirit man. But let me tell you, I want to use this word faith man, because on the inside of you, there's a faith person. And that faith person is either strong and going for it, or that faith person is crumpling on the inside. And what the enemy wants is to destroy your destiny by making you give up on your dreams. And how will he do that? By crushing your faith man on the inside of you. So what do we do about this? You see, the enemy has declared war. Whether you like it or not, he is waging a war with you. How many of you this year already, you have felt some very significant discouragement? Put your hand up high. Come on, I know it's right. I would say at least 80 to 90% of people. He has declared war on you. He wants to destroy the very promises that God has given to you, or your faith to accomplish them. He wants to accomplish in your life what he managed to do with a whole generation. A whole generation in Israel. And for the rest of them, well, Joshua and Caleb, despite them, you know, the other one's giving in to discouragement, it delayed their stuff too. And so sometimes it isn't even your fault. Sometimes there are delays. And it is stuff that's going on, and it isn't the way God wants it. But if we will hang in there, then we will get our mountain like Caleb did. He said, give me my mountain. I'm just as strong this day as I was 40 years ago. I might be 83, I think he was by then, but I'm just as strong today. Listen, there may have been a delay in your life, but that is not God saying it's over. It's God saying, stand up, believe, and fight. I want to give two principles very quickly as we finish. You know, what do we do about all this? Number one, declare war. Declare war on discouragement. You know, yes, there is a time when we have to face the pain. And we have to get into God's presence and pour out our pain there. Because if we don't do that, it will just go septic in our souls. But I want to look more importantly, or more today, on two other things. I'm going to quickly turn to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Genesis 13 and verse 14. Now this was when Abraham had to separate from the one family member he had left with him. He had his wife, but all the family that he loved so much, Lot. He gets separated from Lot. I'm sure there was grief in his heart, that he was disappointed. But he felt just this sense of, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to let go. You know, I'm alone now completely. Everyone I have trusted and looked to for support and help, they've gone, just me now. And this is what God said to him. So that's the state he's in. Lot's gone. He's alone. Sarah's in the tent. Abraham's outside. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from where you are now, from the place where you are, and look northwards, southwards, eastwards, and westwards. What he's saying? He's saying, Abraham, it's time to stop dwelling on the pain of that separation. Abraham, it's time to stop looking and focusing on the disappointment, the thing that went wrong. Abraham, it's time to lift up your eyes and look at my promises. You see, what was northward, southward, eastward, that was the land that God had said he would inherit. Are you hearing me? God is saying to you, my son, my daughter, stop looking backwards and start afresh today looking forwards. Look forwards to the promises of God. Look forwards to his faithfulness. Look forwards to those dreams that he has called you to fulfill. Something else I want us to look at. 2 Samuel 22. I mentioned what David went through in Ziklag. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 38, please. David had just gone through this terrible devastation. He got into the presence of God. He's lost his family. His men are furious with him. They want to just kill him. He's gone through this awful time. He gets into the presence of God. God says, David, I'm with you. And he says, David, I want you to rise up in the midst of this disappointment. In the midst of things just looking so awful, I want you to rise up, pursue your enemy, because I'm going to give you the victory. Amen. The way it is today, it's not going to be like that. Now, I want you to see how far David went. You've got to remember, he'd lost everything. Discouragement was trying to settle in his soul. The enemy thought, yes, I can destroy this destiny by destroying this city. If you know the story. But then David talked about it afterwards. And he says, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. 39. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Verse 40. For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up. Do you know what? The second point I want to make, or third, is hit back harder. Hit back harder. I don't know how the enemy's tried to discourage you. It might be over your health. It might be over the financial well-being of your household or your family. It might be over a son or a daughter. It might be over your ministry, your business, your dreams. But I want to encourage you this day to arise and hit back harder. How do you do that? Go back to the promises of God. Go back to that verse he gave you. Go back to that word he gave you and arise in strength and say, Satan, you declared war on me, but you picked on someone too big for you. Are you hearing me? You picked on someone who has greater power than you. So it's over. I want you to rise to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe that in this house, God is calling us this day to trample disappointment under our feet. He's calling us to take disappointment by the horns. You know, taking the bull by the horns and to say, do you know what? You've attacked me too often. I'm coming after you. You see, remember that if the enemy can't get your faith, he can't touch you. If he can't weaken, if he can't dissolve your faith in your heart, if that faith man, that faith woman on the inside of you is strong, there's no stopping you. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. First of all, I mentioned that, you know, sometimes when we've gone through a disappointment, there has to be that point where we tell God about it. If there's pain still in our hearts as a result of what happened, as a result of the delay and how it made us feel. I remember a 30-second weeping in the presence of God over that TBN thing. It doesn't take long. We don't have to stay in that place. But right now, if there's something that's happened that has left pain in your heart, I just want you to tell the Lord. Just say, God, it hurt. It hurt. You know, some of you, you may have been made redundant. You may have lost contracts. You may have watched sons or daughters make terrible decisions. There may be dreams that you've had and you just watched it all fall apart around you. If that's you right now in these moments, just tell the Lord. Tell him, Lord, it hurt when that happened. Thank you, Jesus. Just tell him in these moments, God, that hurt. That was painful. Remember, we're children and he's our daddy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.